Plan.
Thank you.
Lord's house this day to celebrate and worship our risen Savior and Lord. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Facebook Live, so that's the schedule for next Sunday. So just wait till next Sunday, and I'll tell you what the Sunday after that is. If you want to know the entire schedule, go to our website. You can also go to our newsletter and look at the schedule. On the very front page of our newsletter tells you about what's coming up in the coming days and weeks. Thank you for those that joined me this Wednesday for the first session in our Wednesday night Bible study. It meets at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. We got a good taste of the beginning line in the Lord's Prayer. And so thank you for joining me on Wednesday night. I encourage you to join me again this Wednesday night at 6:30 as we look at session two. And this week we'll be looking at the second line in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We'll be breaking down the Lord's Prayer sentence by sentence. So join me Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live for our next session. I do want to remind you that Elon Reading Day is coming quickly. I know I've talked to many college students over this past week, and they're excited about exams coming, but they're also excited about the semester being over. Elon Reading Day is coming up on Wednesday, May 12th, and we're providing a refreshment outpost for them on that day from 4 to 6 p.m. underneath our shelter. Thank you for those individuals that have already brought items for that day. The items that we need are listed on your bulletin this morning. If you can bring those in the next week or so we can make sure we get all those items together and have put them in bags and have them ready for our college students on May 12th. Our spring celebration is 2 weeks away. Two weeks from today, we're going to have a worship service outside, a prayer garden dedication, a wonderful picnic, and I'm just reminding you that everybody should have received an RSVP card in the mail about the picnic lunch. So if you received those this week, thank you for those that have already turned them in. Make sure you fill those out and get them back to us so we know how much food we need for that day. If you did not receive one or you would like one, please see Gay or myself this morning, and we'll make sure you get one in the next day or two. But thank you for those, and we look forward to a day of celebration that will be on May 16th. Gabe went around to the Sunday school classes this morning to remind them about our first Fun and Fellowship trip that we've had in over 14 months. 14 months since our last Fun and Fellowship trip. And they're excited about that opportunity. They'll be going to Lexington for some barbecue and some shopping. If you want to participate on that day, that's Tuesday, May 18th. You can sign up in one of the Sunday school classrooms or the Communication Center. But we look forward. I know Gabe looks forward to taking a group down there. So if you're interested in that trip, please sign up as soon as you can. And last but not least this morning, I want to give you an update on where we stand with our parking lot funds. You see the numbers in your bulletin. We have raised over $95,000 towards our $115,000 goal towards our parking lot. We've also had $10,000 additional dollars that have been pledged that will be coming in shortly. So, crunching the numbers, as of Thursday, we are $8,693.49 short of our goal. That's where we stand. So I want to first of all say amen and thank you for your support for this opportunity. I know as we draw closer, and we're just a couple weeks away from the D&D paving getting started on our parking lot, but thank you for your generosity. We've almost crossed that goal. So just to let you know where we stand and what we still need to do between now and then. So thank you again. It is a great day. It is a wonderful day the Lord has blessed us with to worship this morning. So let's stand up and let's sing praise together to our Lord and Savior.
Our first hymn this morning is Lord Reign in Me. Last week we talked about how great our God is. Well, today we're going to talk about how the Lord reigns in us in every thought that we think about and everything that we do. So let's stand and let's worship together. Lord Reign in Me.
Every mountain stream, every sunless sky, but my mind.
verses 1 through 6 this morning. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. Everywhere we go, every time we open our eyes, we can take in the glory of God. And in every step we take, we can know that he reigns and rules over this earth and our lives. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning, thanking him for his power and his presence with us. Let's pray. Most high and holy God, the one who is enthroned in fire and light, burn away the worries and expectations that we bring to worship this day. Kindle within us the fire of your love, that our worship and our very lives may reveal the light and life we find in your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We lift this prayer in his name today, and all God's people said, Amen.
You may notice that the hymn books are back in the pews in front of you now. If you want to use your hymn book, or you can use the screen, our next hymn is hymn number 206, Blessed Be the Name. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Blessed be the name.
Regional Medical Center. They do a host of things. So if you want to just go online and just Google Alamance Regional Medical Center, Alamance Regional Charitable Foundation, you will see a laundry list of things they collect for on a monthly, weekly, and a daily basis in providing items for our community for those individuals in need. So one of the areas that we're going to partner with for this month of May is to help collect items that they put in baby boxes. And these are distributed to new mothers who may be in financial need or emotional need. And so we're going to collect some of the items that they put in those baby boxes each and every day. They give out many a day. So what you see in your bulletin this morning is a list of those items that we're collecting. Some of the items include onesies, pants, socks, hats, baby wipes, thermometers, baby board books, baby washer. The list goes on and on. They collect a lot of items, and these boxes are just a gift of love to new mothers in our community. So over this month, we want you to, when you're at the grocery store, pick up a few baby items. Maybe you haven't walked down those aisles. It's been years since I've walked down those aisles for myself, but I know how much fun it is walking down a baby aisle. Especially if there's a mom there with a baby. So that's your extra motivation. So walk down those aisles at the grocery store. Pick up a few items. We're going to collect them the entire month of May. We'll have a collection bin outside during the week. If you just want to drop by and drop them in the box down here in our lower entrance where you can bring them on Sunday morning. And we have the bins outside our lower entrance down here. So drop items off there. But be in prayer, not just for your support, our support of this ministry, but be in prayer for the new mothers in our community. As a father, my wife is a wonderful mother, but I remember the stress that she had when Samuel was born and when Luke was born. If you've ever been there, if you know that experience, it can be overwhelming. A box of baby items can just lift a spirit. So please be generous this month, collect some items, and drop them off by the church during the month of May. Now at this time, I'm going to call on Susan Reinheimer, who is going to come for our offertory prayer.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and being able to worship you here with all of our friends. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us and ask that you take our offerings and use them to help spread your word. Thank you for your grace and your love. And in your name we pray. Amen.
with them right before. And something I did with Emily and Nate yesterday is I said, all right, just close your eyes for a second. Take a deep breath in and breathe out. And just enjoy the experience that today is. Sometimes I think we need to do the exact same thing when we come to worship on Sunday morning. That sometimes we just need to take a deep breath in and a deep breath out and wait for the experience that is about to happen. Because the Spirit is going to move. The Spirit has been moving already. But I don't know what He may be saying to you today. So this morning, as I said, told Emily and Nate yesterday, close your eyes for a second. Take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath out. And spend a few moments in silence with our Savior this day to be ready for what He may be saying to you. Lord, You call us to go to the mountaintop with You, and we follow, not quite sure of what is about to happen, but we like mountaintops. We like the view from up there. We like mountaintop experiences. Lord, sometimes we need mountaintop experiences with You when our days are dark and dreary, when our hearts may be heavy. When the valleys seem more depressing than ever, Lord, may this mountaintop experience fill our hearts with Your light. May we be filled with Your love. May we be filled with Your hope. Lord, we are aware that just as Noah and Abraham and Moses and Your disciples were changed by their mountaintop experiences, that we too are changed and transformed into the image of Christ by Your mercy. Lord, may we have unveiled faces that reflect Your love, Your hope, and Your life, not just this day, but every day. We lift this prayer in the One who has taken us to the top of that mountain, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Again, I want to say good morning. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for those that are joining us this morning via Facebook Live for watching and experiencing worship this day. I hope you've been touched by the music and the scripture, and I know I have, and the music was absolutely beautiful this morning, Dave. And Susan and Bert and Mark, thank you for setting the tone for worship this morning. This morning I will be concluding a sermon series that I began 3 weeks ago, Mountaintop Experiences. Over the last 3 weeks, we have observed and reflected on some of the characteristics of God that are true every single day, but sometimes I think we may forget. We may lose track of and lose sight of. These characteristics are what can keep us on top of that emotional mountain that we experience on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, the day we celebrated the risen Lord. First, we observed a couple weeks ago how God is faithful through the story of Noah and his trip to the top of Mount Ararat. The next week, we traveled to the top of Mount Moriah with Abraham to see that God provides. Last week, Moses took us to the top of Mount Sinai as we recalled that God sanctifies us. This week, we turn to the New Testament and to another mountaintop experience to see how God showed three disciples, Peter, James, and John, that over all the prophets and the leaders from the past, that Jesus reigns. Now, I hope over the last few weeks you've been able to see how special mountaintop experiences are in the Bible. When the story goes to the top of the mountain of the Bible, something miraculous, something huge, something life-transforming happens. Each experience is defined through the eyes, through the lens of the individual that went to the top of the mountain, who got to witness God's work at that time. The experience of literally conquering a mountain and witnessing God's handiwork and very nature from the top of the mountain has driven many individuals, thousands upon thousands of individuals, to climb literal mountains. story from my past about climbing a mountain. Now, Jennifer and I, shortly after we were married, and prior to the boys, Samuel and Luke, being born, Jennifer and I decided that we were going to travel to the mountaintop region known as Atlanta, Georgia. Now, everybody who had been to Atlanta, it only took a short vacation, and we got down there for a couple days. It was a wonderful trip. She and I enjoyed many sights, many historical sights, like the Atlanta Braves baseball games multiple times, and historic sites and other things. We stayed at a bed and breakfast, a Gone with the Wind bed and breakfast at the base of Stone Mountain, Georgia. So on this vacation, we decided, you know what, let's go to Stone Mountain. Let's go to Stone Mountain, something I did many times as a child. My parents took me there many times, and I just loved going to Stone Mountain. So we go there, and it was a very comfortable, warm June Atlanta, Georgia day. Anybody who's ever been to Atlanta, Georgia knows there's no such thing as a warm June day. It's blasting hot. So we decided to go to Georgia, go to Stone Mountain that afternoon, and we decided, as we were there, as any great people would, we said, why don't we climb to the top of Stone Mountain? Yeah, many have done it before. There's a trail on the back side that's a little bit leveled off, and many were going to do it that day. It was the afternoon, 2 o'clock, the sun was shining. It was perfect weather to try to climb the top of Stone Mountain. So we decided we were going to do it. So we got our one water bottles in our hand. I had a bottle. Jennifer had a water bottle. And we decided, you know what? This is something we'll be able to brag about one day, that we are going to climb to the top of a mountain. So we started walking. And we noticed there were many others doing it that day. You know, hey, we were just part of a crowd. And many of them had done it before. And before we started climbing, we thought to ourselves, you know what? At least this is what I was thinking. I don't know what Jennifer was thinking. But I was thinking, you know what? This is something I'm going to tell my children one day. I'm going to tell them that I scaled a mountain. So we started walking up. And going through my head, it was thinking, man, this is going to be great when we get to the top of that mountain. Look over the beauty of Georgia. You can see all around. It would just be absolutely perfect. Well, about halfway up the mountain that day, I started thinking to myself, you know what? It's kind of hot. It is hot today. 2 o'clock, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia weather, it was hot. And it was sticky. And it was humid. And I realized quickly that I'd already drunk the whole water bottle I had in my hand by the time I got halfway up the mountain. Well, as any great mountain climber like myself knows, if you get halfway there, you've got to go to the rest of the half. You don't come back down. So we kept going, and I kept looking over Jennifer. She wasn't having any trouble, but my goodness, I was losing my breath. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Well, we eventually made it to the top of Stone Mountain, Georgia. And it was great joy. We got to experience just looking over God's creation. And I've actually got a picture of that trip we had. David, if you pull that picture up for me this morning. Now, this is many years ago. Now, what you see is Jennifer and I at the top of the mountain. One of the guests there took a picture of us, and you notice my water bottle is empty. You may not be able to see. It's a little bit rainy. What you also don't see is that you see how red Jennifer's shirt is? That's how red my face was. What you also can't see is I had sweated through two shirts that I was wearing that day, because any great mountain climber knows you have to wear two shirts. I had sweated through both of those shirts. Well, we enjoyed the top for a little bit, and we decided, you know, Jennifer said, well, are you ready to walk back down? I said, there's no way I'm walking back down this mountain. So we rode the little dolly, the trolley that comes down, up and down. So that is my wonderful experience of climbing a mountain. Never done it again. When we were on the top of Stone Mountain, we felt we had experienced something great, and I'm still proud that we climbed it. The thing you don't know is my wife is a lot better shape than I am, and she still is today. So she did fine. She was like, let's do it again. I'm like, no, we're not doing it again. So it was a great experience. It was great to get to the top of the mountain and experience something new. However, I don't believe that what we experienced on top of Stone Mountain that day, or anybody experiences when they get to the top of whatever mountain they climb, pales in comparison, is anywhere close to the experience that Peter, James, and John felt when they got to the top of their mountain in our story today. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn turn to Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 8 this morning. You've got there are a few Bibles below you if you want to grab one of those. The words will be on the screen behind me as well. But what we're seeing here is a story about halfway through the ministry of Jesus. Now, Jesus is inviting Peter, James, and John to go to the top of Mount Tabor. Now, some biblical scholars say it may have been Mount Hermon. It doesn't specifically tell us in Scripture, but based on their travel experience, this is probably where it was. It's probably Mount Tabor. He decides to go to the top of the mountain with Peter, James, and John. Now, Jesus has been healing the sick. He has been teaching the disciples and the crowds that followed, and he had just predicted his death for the very first time to his disciples. So you can imagine the emotion that was not just going to Peter, James, and John, but also Jesus at this moment. So a few days later, he travels to the base of this mountain, Mount Tabor, and he asks Peter, James, and John, three of his closest disciples, to go up to the top of the mountain and pray with him. Little did the disciples realize what they were about to experience that day and what they were about to witness, the divine nature of Jesus Christ and the ultimate truth that we finished our sermon series today with, is that God reigns. Read from chapter 9, verses 2 through 8. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As we reflect on this word today, this experience that we're reading about is what's called the Transfiguration. We'll talk a little bit more about why Moses and why Elijah. But one thing that we can learn from this story from the very outset, sometimes understanding and capturing the fact that God reigns, that Jesus Christ reigns, can be terrifying for anyone who experiences it. As Jesus departs to head up the mountain, he chooses Peter, James, and John for a reason. The other disciples were left at the base of the mountain, and he was just taking three disciples with him, the chosen. Many believe these were Jesus' inner circle, the ones that were closest to him. And he said, "You know what? Let's go." And the fact that they were the chosen three didn't just bring experiences that some of the other disciples didn't experience, but it also brought expectations. That's why Jesus chose Peter, James, and John that day. They were present for the raising of Jairus' daughter in Scripture. They were also the ones that had to travel deeper into the Garden of Gethsemane as Jesus went for that final prayer. What they experienced on the top of Mount Tabor that day was life transforming. When we experience God, and when God reigns, we are transformed. We're never the same again. Scripture says that Jesus' clothes became dazzling white, whiter than any bleach could possibly create. The Gospel of Matthew's account of this story says that Jesus' face came as bright as the sun. Remember Moses' face when he traveled to the top of Mount Sinai and he stood face to face with God? When he came down from the mountain, his face was so bright that he had to veil his face so it did not terrify those that were around him. That's the same thing that we experience when we truly understand and grasp that God reigns. If this wasn't fascinating enough, the brightness of the faces, the brightness of the clothes, then two of the ancient ancestors appeared. Two that Peter, James, and John knew all about from their stories from old. Two that many people know from their stories that we actually talked about one last week. Moses, the great lawgiver, and Elijah, the great prophet. It's not a coincidence that Moses and Elijah were chosen that day to stand beside Jesus, to appear before Jesus. They were both standing beside him, the one who reigns. This was too much for Peter, James, and John to behold. They were terrified. Scripture uses that word, terrified. They were shaken. They were amazed, but at the same time, they were just in awe of what they were experiencing. Remember that terror never stopped Peter from opening his mouth. Peter's the one who likes to talk with the disciples, if you ever want to classify him. He's the one who always talks, and it didn't stop him from opening his mouth. He said, let's build three tents. Let's build three shelters for you. One for you, Jesus. One for Moses. One for Elijah. One for each of you. Isn't that the case with us when we experience terror? Sometimes we just want to do something. We want to say something. We can put ourselves in the shoes of those disciples this day. But that's not what God wanted. That's not what Jesus wanted on this day. God instead wanted them to simply experience the moment. We've been there. We've had moments in our lives where we just simply can't say a word. We're just experiencing the moment in that ring. To experience who Jesus was, their teacher, their rabbi, the one they had traveled with for many days, weeks, months, and years, truly was a life-changing experience. Now, they kind of knew who Jesus was. But this is where they got to witness who Jesus was. God wanted those three disciples that day and each of us today to know that Jesus Christ reigns. Now, when we proclaim those words that Jesus Christ reigns, that God reigns, when we proclaim those words, we first must recognize that it starts when we start listening to him. We can go around and proclaim it, but only until we stop and listen can we truly understand, experience the presence of God, and then when we experience it, then we can share it. Jesus wanted the three disciples that day to listen to God's voice. God wanted those three disciples today to listen to Jesus. Look at the words it says. It says, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." You ever heard those words from God? Just stop and listen. You see, listening to Jesus is not a suggestion. It's not a, if I want to, you should. If you don't, that's okay. It's not a suggestion. It's a direct command from God. How many times do we hear God's voice speaking over top of Jesus? Only a couple occasions, if you remember. One's at his baptism. This is one of the other's examples. And what does he say here? He says, listen to him. Listening to Jesus is not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. Jesus tells us to go into the world, baptizing and making disciples in Matthew 28. Are you listening? Jesus also says to experience and celebrate communion through partaking the body and blood of Christ in Luke 22. Are you listening? These two examples, just baptism and Holy Communion, in our similarity to being like Jesus, because that's what we're called to be, Christ-centered, the one who was transfigured on top of that mountain. We are called to worship him. We are called to listen to him. We are called to be drawn to him. We cannot help but be like him when we worship him and when we listen. This is why he brought Peter, James, and John to the top of that mountain that day. He wanted them to experience what it meant. Now, the rest of the story says that as they came down from that mountain, Jesus told them not to tell anybody. Now, knowing that Peter couldn't close his mouth very often, do you think he didn't tell anybody? I can imagine the days and weeks and months to come, they were probably bubbling over with that story. He said, let me tell you what I experienced. Let me share to you what I saw, what I heard. That's the same message we do when we leave this place today. That's what we're called to do. And yes, we will make mistakes, just like the disciples did. Yes, we will fall short on many occasions, just like the disciples did. But instead of tearing ourselves down in those times, we can build ourselves up. Because the one we worship, the one we experience today, the one we follow, the one we listen to, Jesus Christ reigns. God reigns. And that's not going to change tomorrow or the next day, because he reigns today. He reigned yesterday. He reigned in this story that we just experienced through Scripture. He's going to reign months and years to come. That never changes. The world may see it in a different way, but that will never change. This is the truth. This is the truth. Even when we may find it hard to understand or believe what that might mean, it's still the truth. Our God reigns. On the top of Mount Tabor, the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, witnessed Moses, Elijah, and Jesus together. But if you notice, when they went up that mountain, they only went with Jesus. And when they came down that mountain, they only left that mountain with Jesus. That's not a coincidence. I've told you many times before, I don't believe in coincidences. I think God was sending a message to not just the disciples, but for us today, that all we need is Jesus. Jesus is enough. He is enough. We don't have to need the law or the prophets. All we need is Jesus. Jesus is here for us. He's talking to us. Are we listening? We should be, because he is in charge. He is the one who reigns. I think we need this reminder as we walk with the Lord. We talked about that over the last couple of months in one of our Bible studies, walking with God. I think we need this as we walk with the Lord. There are times in our life when we feel beaten down. We feel exhausted. We lose our focus. We feel like we just cannot go on. That's how I felt walking to the top of Stone Mountain, Georgia that day. I did not feel like I could go on. However, in these times when we feel this way, we need to remember who's carrying us to the top. We need to remember who's calling us to the top. We need to remember who's behind us, pushing us up to the top. That's Jesus Christ. That's our Lord. He is the one who is faithful. He is the one who provides. He is the one who sanctifies us. He is the one who reigns. And for that, we give thanks and we listen. Let's pray. Father, I can't put myself in the shoes of Peter, James, and John that day and the experience they had on the top of that mountain. But what I do know is this. The same God who spoke down and said, listen to him, is the same God who reigns in my life today. Father, whatever you may be telling us this morning, telling me, telling those that are gathered, those who are listening at home this morning, whatever God may be telling us, let's be quick to listen. Not quick to do, but quick to listen. The commands are clear. The promise is clear. thank you for sanctifying us. Thank you for being in charge and rule of my life today. May we all proclaim that every single day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we come to the time of closing this morning, as we sing our closing hymn, maybe today for the very first time, you realize what it truly means that Jesus Christ reigns in your life today. If that's how you feel this morning, come down and talk with me. Let me tell you what it means to follow Him, to walk with Him on a daily basis. Or maybe today you're just looking for a church home that seeks to honor God by listening to Him and following Him where we're being led. First Baptist Elon can be that place for you. We welcome you with open arms, embrace you, letting you be a part of this family of God. Or just maybe today you feel beaten down. You feel exhausted and weary from life. Spend some moments in your pew. The altar's always open. It's not my altar, it's God's altar. Come, lift prayer. Wherever you are, whatever you need, whatever commitment you need to make today, make it today. Don't put it off, because God reigns today. And He reigned yesterday, and He's going to reign tomorrow again. And we can celebrate that this morning. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn. Organ side, you've got to go last minute. So let's go out to the world and make a difference this day.